The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday morning, January 4th, 2024. It is the Beating the Book podcast, week number 18 in the National Football League. The squirreliest of all weeks. Some may say that. By the way, I said the word squirrely so much this week that my phone produced an Angie Harmon video where she's like applying mascara to her face or eyeliner or whatever the hell women do in the bathroom when they're there. And there's a squirrel running all over her. She has a pet squirrel. So watch what you say, boys and girls, when you talk about anything into your phone. It is the squirreliest week because we have a lot of backup quarterbacks playing. We have a lot of teams that have something to play for, a lot of teams that have nothing to play for. How does that factor into your handicapping? As always, I welcome the pillars of the show from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, star of the Showtime docuseries Action, Todd Wishnev, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, Toddy?
Hi, Gil.
Todd, did you enjoy spending 2 weeks with me watching bowl games or me with you?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed the endless keister shots from the bowl game situations like, Michigan and Alabama. Or how about Oklahoma? Why don't you just have Oklahoma up by 11, driving to go up either 14 or 18 against Arizona, dominating the football game, and somehow the ball pops into the Arizona guy's hands. He runs 98 yards. It's just disgusting what happened to me in bowl season. An absolute disaster. The only good point is the fact that I went on a 46-19 college basketball run at the same time.
I didn't get too
obliterated because I was winning all my college basketball. But the college, and you were there to witness the. First of all, let us just say I have now experienced the Nevada sportsbook apps. I hadn't seen them for 9 months. They're still horrendous.
Horrendous.
Gilly always complains about Caesars. Caesars regular, like in Pennsylvania, is 50 times better than Caesars in Las Vegas. It is a debacle. There's been at least 5 bets that I was sitting with Gil that I didn't get and ended up getting the wrong team later. Because I didn't get the bet I really wanted because of their horrible technology. So I'm so glad, other than having a good time with you and eating more food than I should possibly ever eat. So I will be dead probably by the end of the season. Other than that, it was just brutal.
And that was just the intro for Todd. But it's all true, everything he said. Will Hill joins us as well, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Todd is at T. Wishnev. Will, not only the star of this Megapod, but also of Chris Felica's Bear, what is it? What is it called? Bear Bets Pod. The Bear Bets Pod.
Still called the Bear Bets Pod.
Yeah, I got the word best in there. I'm sorry. Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football versions, Thursday and Friday. How you doing, Willie?
I'm good. I'm dreading when Todd reads the records. Hopefully he left them upstairs. It was a bad week for me last week, but I love week 18. I love all the moving parts. I love the scenarios. I love just the scoreboard watching. All these games matter, the different scenarios. I think there's bettable games out there too, because I we'll get into it, but I do think they overinflate this idea of motivation.
Me
so
too.
Probably my favorite week of the year. I love it.
Me too. I'm right there with you. Sadly for you, Todd is upstairs in the attic, so he does have the records. Sorry about that. And a first-time Megapod guest. We haven't had a first-time Megapod guest this year, have we? Oh, yeah, Kelly. Kelly last week was first time. He comes to us from NBC Sports Philly. You can find him on Twitter, and I'll get this exactly right, at Brad's Best Bets. Brad Feinberg, everybody. How you doing, Brad? Thanks for being here.
Outstanding, Gil. Like, as I told you off air, you're one of my favorite people in the industry, and it's such an honor to be on your show.
Thank you, Brad.
I listen to it every week. Love you guys, and I'm really excited to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Very kind of you. Thank you for the kind words. I know you know Mr. Wishnev. You haven't met Will. Will, Brad, gentlemen.
We're gonna have to offset those compliments throughout the show. But.
Yes, we are. For me? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so before we get into our best bets for Week 18, Todd, court stenographer of the show with the records, say them slow and say them lovingly.
Quick. Go quick.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Will.
He said say them
quick. No, go quick. Just go quick.
Okay, so yeah. Gilly continues his epic season, unbelievable season. We just cannot believe how well this guy is doing. I mean, knowing the guy ourselves, he goes 2-1 again to go to 34-16-1. Now that is a gaudy number. Now, granted, it is a really small sample size. Let's all remember that. Let's not give him too much credit, wow. But let's be honest. 34-16-1 is just outstanding. And while I don't like giving Gil compliments, that really is just outstanding season by Gilly.
Thank you.
34-16-1. No one's going to catch him. Just unbelievable. And by the way, folks, that's against, widely available Thursday lines. That's no, like, Fezzik trick lines on Monday
that's
or nonsense
right.
like that.
That's
this
right.
This is real lines.
None of that.
I just want you to get your full due, because when it's time to dump on you, we're coming hard. So Gilly, 34-16-1, outstanding job. Willie, an 0-3 last week. He still stays at 26-25. Me and Will both were fooled by that Falcons nonsense. But I didn't go with the Falcons. I went with the Falcons over. But I almost did that too, Will. So whatever. Anyways, he's 26-25. I went 2-1 to go to 25-23-3. Barely hanging in there. And the guest seat goes to 26-22-3. So it's about one game ahead of me. Now, in the more important category, because who would bet regular three games, right? The teaser category, Gil is at 10-7. Will is at 12-5. Todd is at 12-5. And the guest spot is at 12-5. So let's be honest. These teaser numbers are very awesome too. So had you just been playing, all this stuff all year, you'd be happy that you'd be listening to the Megapod.
The best part of that whole thing was, and I'll paraphrase, not that bullshit Fezzik is betting. That's the best part of that whole thing. We love you, Stevie.
Yeah.
Okay. So by the way, you think 34-16-1 is good. And let me just say this again, because I was talking about this on the show this morning. That's three games deep, 34-16-1. Crack was on, and we were talking about, because Crack has two entries in Circa Millions. He's in 101st place and 187th going into the final week, top 100 cash. Randy McKay is doing well. Fezzik is 10th place, I think, heading into the final week, top 10, make big money. We brought up the question of how is it that the Fezziks of the world and the Randy McKays and even the Cracks, the Las Vegas Chris's of the world, how is it that they do so well on these contests so often? Because when I extend my 34-16-1 to five games, which is what you do in the Circa Millions, I can't even get to 60%. And so just for those who are new to betting or new-ish, the difference is that my 34-16-1 and my Circa Millions record is I'm handicapping football games like a normal schmuck does. What those guys are doing is they're waiting till as far deep into, the deadline, at 4 p.m. on Pacific time on Saturdays. They're getting as perfect information as possible injury-wise, and they're getting, more importantly, as perfect information as they can lines-wise. And so what they're doing is they're getting the best of it on a consistent basis. Now, it should be noted that that doesn't work every year, but this year it worked in spades. And so someone like Crack, who admittedly doesn't know players at all, just handicaps based on market handicapping, is right there on the cusp of cashing. And then the biggest factor beyond that is, and Todd, I know you'll jump on this and resonate with this, it's just pure luck. Like, you just have to run good with the balls that bounce a certain way in this stuff. Am I probably a little fortunate that the balls bounced my way on the 34-16-1 and a little unfortunate that they didn't when I extended to a fourth and fifth game? Probably. But that's part of the deal, too. And so just as long as you accept that part of NFL handicapping pre-flop is that way, I think you'll just be better off mentally with the whole thing. Because I do think some people, we talk about this in Survivor, too. Some people get really enamored with themselves, right? They're like, oh, I'm so awesome at this. I'm so great. It's fleeting, man. It's fleeting. And you talk about small sample size, Todd. Even like Millions, right? Like Las Vegas Chris, who was like, James Salinas, who finished first 1 year and third the next in Westgates. It's still a small sample size, right? 2 years of 80 games or 85 games or whatever it is. So anyway, contests are interesting. By the way, if you think 34, 16, and 1 is good, Brad, what are you in the NBA this year? What are you up?
I am up over, this is betting Gil, not to, you know, tip my cap, but betting one unit per game, I'm up over 80 units in the NBA. I specialize in props, up over 80 units in the NBA.
Primarily props.
One unit per game.
Primarily props.
Almost 98% of my stuff is props. And, you know, it's, I'll be a full transparency. I had a show called Given Props in the NFL for 2 years, and I won about 70% of my props in the NFL for a couple years in a row. This year, Gil, in the NFL prop and my on my site, I'm down a few units. I mean, it's been a hard prop year for me in the NFL, which has been shocking. I've never not done great in the NFL props. This year, it's been very choppy for me. But in the NBA, which I've always been great at, baseball I've always been great at, it's still been terrific. But the NFL, and I've spoke to other fellow pros, Gil, I'm not sure how much you do props or how much you follow that. Todd, same with you. Will, I'm curious what you guys prefer, but people I know who do this for a living, they've had a much tougher time this year with the NFL props than they've ever had before. Because again, I'm usually right near 65 to 70% in the NFL, have been nowhere near that this year. But in the NBA, it's just been like an all-you-can-eat buffet for me of just, you know, win, 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 win.
Will, you dabble.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking off the air about what an opportunity that was. I missed it too with the Bridges. Was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago with the same game parlays? And man, you just, hey, you pay attention. And the more these books stuff, the more product is out there, the more markets they have. They can't be perfect with everything. They're going to miss some things sometimes. A few years ago, the Draymond Green situation, and I'm sure Brad can speak to this. Man, it's hard to make a perfect line for everything when you're putting up so much stuff.
Yeah, and
the more stuff they put out, guys, that's the advantage. Like, if they put out, like they're putting out, you guys see it, they're putting out for every single game, a point, assist, points and rebounds, assists and steals, yep, block, turnovers. And eventually when you see a guy that minutes maybe can just be a little bit different than what the market is initially saying, like you get an injury update or something like that, or it's impossible almost to line every single one of these right. If they're putting out 500 bets a day, I'm looking to find five out of the 500 that are off, right? And I'm trying to go, you know, at least 3-2 to, hopefully a little better than 3-2 on those five props. And, you know, but it is out there. But I spend my entire life being a slave to this. But I love it. So it makes it easy.
Good for you, man.
I do it all the time.
May you continue to run hot. And I do think there's a good point in there, too, which is, right, not everything is going to be the same from year to year where, you know, I was just hearing, what was it, Brad Powers, who's a great college football bettor, had a terrible year in college football. I had a terrible year in tennis based on what was happening in previous years. It happens. It's never going to be static from year to year. Things change.
I like to say, Gil, I can bleed too. Sometimes when you're running well, you think you're impervious to it, but everyone can bleed. I don't care who you are. There's always going to be tough times, but that's what makes, I always say, what makes a good sports bettor is not just the knowledge, but it's the discipline, not chasing when things aren't going your way, staying an even course, and not getting, like Todd is an expert in his college basketball. You know, he has these things down to a science.
Yes.
And he has math behind him. He's brilliant with it. And he calculates it like a savant. But he'll tell you, he's had times where it doesn't go his way. But over the long run, he'll get those, you know, those streaks like he's probably at least 55% in all these games. So even if the 45 are going at a way against them, you just have to be able to stick it out and have to have that memory. Like it's going to turn around and you can't always think you're going to win every single day. You're going to have losing days.
Dr. Bob says it best. He says your ability to overcome negative variance is your best indicator of how good of a long-term bettor you're going to be. And I will say this about Todd. Yes, he is. I will talk about him as if he's not here. He is as susceptible to those short-term, you know, stretches as anybody is. But because of the mechanical nature of what Todd does, I would argue what he does in college basketball is about as solid of a wager and as solid as a method as you can get to minimize those over the course of time. Because it's a lot less.
It's a great point.
It's a lot less subjective, I would say.
This Todd guy right now is watching 100%. Sacred Heart against St. Francis, and it's 69-58. And if you're on my service, You have over 142. I hope you two clowns have it. Over 142, which looks like a very good bet to, today. So, but anyway, I want to just talk. I just want to talk real quick about, like you were saying, things can go against you. You know, I thought I had a beautiful port. This is what happened to me in College Bowl, but I'll just give you the NFL. So even though I had a good NFL week, the NFL football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions, had two go to overtime plus 500. Ugh. And at that point, it was 17-13, and I said I might as well take under 34.5. Because if the Cowboys come down and kick a field goal, it's 20-13, that's 33, and I will win my under bet. And if it doesn't happen and Lions come down and get the touchdown, I go to overtime, I get plus 500. So I've got a perfect scenario set up so that I might as well take the under. So I did. And now we'll talk about Dumbos. Mr. McCarthy on, I said this to Gil probably like 100 times. How can you not run the clock down and throw an incomplete pass? I just don't understand it at any level. But you know what Gil said? Oh, he did it 3 weeks ago.
He did.
I don't care. What are you doing? I don't understand at any level of football. I watched Louisiana Monroe versus Louisiana Tuchusville, and they know to do this. How can Mike McCarthy not know to take the clock down? Okay, whatever. He doesn't take the clock down. And then the Lions, of course, come down, get a touchdown, decide to go for two to screw my overtime bet, and then get a penalty and decide to go for two again from the seven. Dan Campbell, what are you doing? Okay.
I got to ask you guys a question. I really do, because I'm of the belief that we had someone like one of us four on an NFL sideline, and I would bet my house on this, we would save them at least a half game a year in terms of stupidity plays. Does Dan Campbell get, it's not a macho thing, when you're at the seven-yard line, you're nowhere near 50% to score. I mean,
no, Brad. We decided we were going to win the game right here, or we're not going to win the game right here. That's what we're doing, Brad. I don't care.
Okay.
And did you see what the Washington coach, when they didn't take a knee, hand on the Bible, I said this before the guy got injured. I said it before, so I don't want anyone to, Brad, you're full of BS. I said it to my people I was watching the game with. I'm like, he's risking a turnover, he's risking an injury, and he's risking a fumble. I go, what do you mean you're risking an injury? And I literally go, guys get hurt all the time on plays, the clock's going to stop. And it happened the next play. He's like, how did you know? I'm like, it's not that I knew, but you're just giving a chance. It's like, as opposed to having 100% chance, I mean, you're giving them a 6% chance just because you're an idiot. I can't think
of it. I would even say that we've gotten to the point where I don't think any of these were that original. Like, I do think in every one of these cases, right? Like, when Mike McCarthy, when Dak Prescott threw that pass and it went incomplete, giving the Lions, 30 extra seconds, it's just unconscionable. And it doesn't take it, you know it in the moment. And I did say that to Todd, by the way. Louisiana Tuchusville is very live, Todd, every week.
Yeah.
But I did say in the moment to Todd, he did it against Seattle when Seattle was up 38-35 four or 5 weeks ago. The same thing, 1:46 left on the clock. They threw an incomplete pass. Right. They could have got it down to a minute. They got bailed out by their defense, and they won by six after the field goal because they stopped Geno and crew, but he did it then. The Dan Campbell thing from the seven-yard line, I get it. You don't want to play overtime. You want to end it there, and everybody knew he was going to try to go for two. But, yeah, from the seven, like, how do you not know that that's when you should just probably just kick the damn extra point? Because it's a win probability thing. It's a two-point conversion probability thing. It was ridiculous, and everybody knew it in the moment. And then the DeBoer thing, the Kalen DeBoer thing with Washington, let me just say.
He wouldn't be here today.
I wouldn't be here today. I had much.
Too. Oh, you had Washington, Gil?
I had so much in-game money on Washington that I just thought I was coasting in to win.
Yeah, you were.
And then when the thing about running into the line, like, this is Mario Cristobal territory. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Dude, what are you doing? And it's so obvious to the viewer. It's so absolutely ridiculous. But I will say this. The injury, which, again, a lot of people can say, well, DeBoer shouldn't have put them in that situation to get the injury. He shouldn't have. But they got to do something about that rule. How do you gift the team that's behind, right? That rule, the spirit of that rule is, you can't fake an injury when you're behind, so they run off clock. But when you're ahead, that was done. That game, Texas would have had 12 seconds left on the clock. Instead, they had 50. or after the punt and then the catch 50. Interference. It was 33 seconds more. It was 45 seconds after the reception, after the catch on the punt at their own 30. That's the difference between going to a national championship and not. And, of course, we know that they just they held on for dear life. They got to do something about that rule. That doesn't make any sense to me, that that game clock stops right there.
Well, Joe, do you remember, I used to, my thing in life, I love to find inefficiencies. It used to be, and I remember, do you remember the Super Bowl between the Falcons and the Patriots?
Of course.
It used to be like, and again, you're going to maybe laugh at me and call me and make fun of me, but there, you know, the rule used to be, if you took a delay a game, the clock would just keep running, and you took another one, it would keep running. I said when they're up 28-3, they should just take the ball, run down the clock until there was 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So everyone would make fun of them and hate them, but I go, they'd win the game. They'd have the ball at the quarter-yard line, and you could take off an entire quarter and 10 minutes of the fourth quarter by just literally, they did change that rule. But the other thing is, you know, and guys, it will, isn't when you see at the, when there's like the ball at like the 15-yard line, there's like 12 seconds left in the half or 9 seconds left, they should just grab the guys, put them in a bear hug, because they're going to throw the ball in the end zone. If you just, they're going to call a defensive holding penalty. Then they're going to kick the field goal the next play.
Yeah.
Guys, still, the coaches let them run a play and put them in a position. These are the things that just I can't stand as a sports better.
I'm Brad, like, they can't do that because then I can't get screwed. I can't get screwed at the end of my head. And they need to screw me on my bed. How it works.
The point of all this is we've talked about all this stuff so many times on this podcast and on the radio show. And it just, these NFL and these college coaches, the NFL coaches are like Mensa compared to the college coaches. They're so locked in to their X's and O's that they just don't have broader context. And I just wonder, like, if we were coaches like them, would we be as stupid?
No.
Maybe we would be. I don't know. Because we don't, Todd said it before, we just watch so many more games than they do in the end.
Right.
They're like so focused in on their games.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, we don't have a Thursday night football game, so we go straight to the best bets. Three.
We were going to do... We don't have to talk about in-game. I just wanted to talk real quick with one real quick one, Gil, and that is the Saints against the Bucks had 17 points at halftime, was 17-0. The third quarter was under 7.5. You have to make that bet under 7.5 in that situation. An NFL game, one team's winning, no one's doing anything on offense, and they're getting the ball to start the third quarter. It's an absolute must. It was about an easy as pie win. So it's just something to keep in mind for next year, guys. In the third quarter, one team has a big lead. The other team is not moving the ball at all. They're getting the ball to start. These under 7.5s, you have to be playing them.
All right, let me just say as a backdrop to this week, Lamar Jackson's going to sit for the Ravens. Ravens already clinched the number one seed in the AFC North title. They have nothing to play for. Tyler Huntley will start against the Steelers on Saturday. Matt Stafford is going to sit for the Rams. Carson Wentz is going to play. A bunch of Rams are not playing in this game. The Rams can only be the sixth or the seventh seed in the NFC, so they don't really care where they end up. Just as long as Carson Wentz knows that Puka Nacua needs four catches and 30 yards to break both rookie records, receptions and receiving yards, I'm cool. In that same game, Brock Purdy is sitting. Sam Darnold is playing for the Niners, so enjoy that Rams-Niners game, Wentz versus Darnold. Joe Flacco with the Browns locked into the number five seed in the AFC. He's going to sit. Some people have big numbers on him for comeback player of the year. Jeff Driscoll is going to start for the Browns, which would mean that this will be the fifth starting quarterback for the 2023 Browns. They will become only the second team in the history of the NFL to make the postseason with five starting quarterbacks. The other one, Todd, any idea? The 1984 Chicago Bears, the only team that came in RFK Stadium in Washington and beat the Redskins in a postseason game in RFK. Steve Fuller started that playoff game in lieu of Jim McMahon. And then Patrick Mahomes, with the Chiefs locked into the number three position in the AFC, he's going to sit in the Chiefs game. Blaine Gabbert is going to start for the Chiefs. All right, and by the way, other ones too. Nick Mullins is going to get the start again as Kevin O'Connell continues to mush up that quarterback situation in Minnesota. Minnesota can still get into the playoffs. We'll get into that. Sam Howell is going to start for the Commanders so we don't get the Jacoby Brissett experience after all against the Cowboys. Brad, your number one pick, sir, is?
You know, Gil, it's funny. It's close, but I'm going to actually go in the game that you just talked about. I'm actually going to take San Francisco. Now, this opened it lower, but it's still right now markets at four, but it was at 2.5. But I still like San Francisco. And I'm going to tell you why. I've read a lot about this, Gil. Shanahan has talked about extensively in the past how his dad got screwed with people resting guys. And he talked about Peyton Manning, his experiences with Peyton Manning, and how Peyton Manning talked about how when the Colts rested players, it really hurt them. Now, I made this bet before they announced that Purdy was going to sit. I thought I'd get 1.5 of Purdy, but I've read enough from Shanahan to think that he is going to play some of his starters. I know there's no McCaffrey. I know there's no Purdy, but I think they're going to play more than the Rams. I don't have to tell you three. The Rams with McVay in the preseason is like, I don't even know. I mean, it's like, putting a pizza in front of me and you're the pizza and you're like, that's not going to be good. Right. You know, he's played so not caring in these preseason games. Now I know the Puka Nacua thing, Gil, you mentioned, okay, maybe he's going to get his a little bit, but I just think that this is Darnold. Crazy as it seems, I think he's more competent at this point than Wentz I think is beyond shot. And I just think that what I've seen in the past from this Rams team in meaningless games, Gil, and this is, you may say Detroit versus Dallas is meaningful. Maybe analytically it could be, but my guess is I don't think it's going to beat a McVay and company. I like San Francisco to win this game by at least a touchdown.
San Francisco -4, Todd. That's the consensus, yes. I believe. San Francisco -4 for Brad Feinberg is his number one pick there. Todd Wishnev. Yinzer.
My first pick is going to be in the same vein as what Brad was talking about. What do you guys have for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Baltimore Ravens?
-4 consensus.
Okay. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens plus the 4. Here's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you based on a story, Yinzer. Here's the deal. This Harbaugh guy, I don't know if you ever watch him in the preseason. The guy doesn't lose. The guy just says, I refuse to lose ball games. Lose. And, you know, you don't want to play him in the preseason. Now, all the more so in a game that's supposed to be what we call meaningless. Now, why would it be meaningless? First of all, the stores aren't good. I don't want to hear anymore. I know they made me look ridiculous last week when Mason Rudolph played well and they ran the ball right down Seattle. This is a different animal. You're going down there in Baltimore. We're not going to be able to do much against that team. And now we got Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley's not that bad. I've seen him a million times win ball games. You're giving me 4 points with a better team and a coach that wants to win the football game. Tallman already won his thing. Oh, yeah, he's never had a losing season. Blah, 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 whatever. Give me the Ravens +4 against my Yinzers.
Wait, what was that thing you said about Tomlin? I've never heard that before. 17 years in a row without a losing season? Wow.
You know what I said? I said blah, blah, blah.
Willie, what's your number one?
It's never good when the three of us are on the same thing. Like, Gil, you're going to be on it too.
Yes,
Ravens plus four.
There it is.
Really, same scenario as 2019. It didn't mean anything for Baltimore. They had a one seed locked up, or they had a bye locked up. It was the one seed. They played Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh still had a shot at the playoffs. It's funny. I thought they might play Lamar because they went into the playoffs that year having taken 3 weeks off, and that's what Lamar's going to have here. I thought maybe they'd play Lamar because they lost in the first round that year to Tennessee. But regardless, if Baltimore was playing everybody healthy, motivated, this line is, what, 9, 10? Now you're going to swing it 14 points because of, okay, Lamar. But, again, Hundley's an elite backup, maybe the best backup in the league. I think this is too much of an overreaction. It's a total of 35, and these games are always field goal games, 20-17, 17-14. I think when you're home too, I think it's there's less of a tendency to just die and roll over. The home crowd helps you when there's nothing to really play for. And look, Huntley's got something to play for. Huntley's got a contract to play for. You know, he's going to be sought after, I think, by one of these teams one of these years, but with the quarterback dearth in the NFL. So give me the Ravens here plus the 4 points.
Excellent use of dearth as well, Will. Nicely done. That's my number one pick too. I couldn't agree more. On guessing lines on Monday, that was the first game up on the board because it's the first game on Saturday, and it was the first game where I guessed it completely wrong. And on week 18 guessing lines, you're going to have some ridiculous guesses on these. And I'm with you. The only thing I'll add is, you know, what's Dr. Bob, quote Dr. Bob again for the second time on this show, where he said, you know, if you're in a must-win situation, you must not be that good. So just keep that in mind. And while we don't usually talk about trends here, it is interesting. Steve Mackinnon, who works at VSiN, did come up with this one. Since 2011, underdogs in games where teams are resting starters, and that must have been difficult for him to actually cull this together because you got to really do some digging, 22-9 against the spread, 71%. I agree with everything you guys are saying, which is Tyler Huntley and the Ravens at home? You really think they should be more than a three-point dog? In what world? I don't. Even if you don't have anything to play for, and this is the biggest thing, just as a macro thing, again, for newer bettors, if it were as easy as just picking the team that needs to win versus a team that doesn't need to, we'd all be rich. This would be the easiest racket in the world. Some of these aren't going to get home, and this is the one that leaps off the page. So I'm with you. Baltimore plus four is my first pick. I liked four things on guessing lines on Monday, so I'm going to have to cull to which three I like the best. I'm going to say for number two, because the Bears are still at three, right? Not 3.5. Is that right?
Three.
I have them.
All right. So I'll leave that as my fourth, because that'll be one of my contest picks plus three, because I think the Bears plus three against the Packers is good. But are the Raiders at minus 2.5 still?
Raiders, I see 2.5. See, and
yeah.
Threes.
Give me the Raiders minus 2.5 against the Broncos.
I could be wrong, guys.
What are we seeing consensus on this? Doop-a-doop-a-doo. Raiders. I see just as many 2.5s with extra juice, though. What are you giving me, Todd?
We'll give you the Raiders 2.5.
I'm taking the Raiders. I got it at 2.5 on Monday, too. I just think for me, this is also one where it's like it's the Antonio Pierce game. You have Davante Adams coming out saying he wants Pierce to be the coach. I think the Raiders are motivated here in a way. By the way, this game means nothing to the Raiders or the Broncos, but could mean something to the Jaguars. If the Jaguars lose their game, not only do they not win the AFC South, but they could still get into the playoffs as a number 7 seed, but part of that is the Broncos losing this. Just trust me on the tiebreaker here. So this does matter, and it might matter in terms of a playoff implication to another team. But I like the Raiders here. I've always felt the Jaguars are an overrated outfit. That game against the Chargers was like watching paint dry last week. There's nothing about the Broncos that I think is any good. And I think the Raiders are playing tough to the end. Less than three. I guessed this line at 4 on Monday. I couldn't believe that it was only 2.5. I got the Raiders here. Minus 2.5 is my second pick. Willie.
Before I get to my pick, why does that Broncos-Raiders game matter? I was going over all these scenarios. I saw it does matter. How does that factor in? Is it strength of schedule it affects with somebody else?
Yeah, well, something about the Jags. Like, I would have to dig into it. But
it's not that important. I thought maybe you
would
talk your head.
If the Jags lose, I'll tell you the Jags playoff scenario. So if the Jags win, they win the AFC South. They're the they're the number 4 seed. If they lose, the winner of the Houston-Indianapolis games becomes the winner of the AFC South. But Jacksonville could still get into the postseason with a loss. They'd be the number 7 seed if the Ravens beat the Steelers and the Raiders beat the Broncos. So they need the Broncos to clear, in other words. And so a quick glance, quick glance of the standings tells me that that would probably be, I don't think they played each other, did they?
Not that I remember, no.
Yeah. The you know what it would be? I think they're, I don't want to speculate. But,
okay.
But that, no, that's what they need to have happen.
I will go with the Giants. Am I getting five with the Giants or 4.5?
Giants look like five.
Giants.
I will take the five.
Yeah.
For all the issues Philly has on the field defense, who knows if Hurts is healthy? They've been a mess. All their underlying stats when they were 10-1 and we were saying they're overrated, that has come home to roost. I don't know how much they care because this is the same situation as last year. Giants were playing the Eagles. Washington was playing Dallas. And remember, it was Dallas who needed the upset. And they came out flat against Washington. They needed the Giants to upset Philly. And they're like, you know what? That's not going to happen. They just kind of went through the motions. Remember, that was Howell's first game. I think a similar situation here where Philly probably looks at the scoreboard middle of the game and sees Dallas is up, you know, maybe 17-3 or 14-0. What are we doing here? Let's pull guys. We're not going to run Hurts. I think they use this as maybe a mini buy to maybe get themselves back on track. There's all sorts of issues with Philly. The Giants have played hard. Giants could have beat the Rams last week. The Giants played Philly pretty tough on Christmas. I mean, that was an 8-point game with the Giants throwing the ball into the end zone on the last play. So the five's here a lot. I don't know how much either team, I don't know how much Philly's going to be into this game. I'll take the five here with the New York football Giants.
Yeah, Eagles and Giants, excuse me, Eagles and Cowboys playing concurrently in the afternoon window. Two games on Saturday, the Steelers, Ravens, and the Texans, Colts. Then in the early window on Sunday, six games. And then those two games part of the six game, or excuse me, there's seven games in the, so there's more games in the late window this week than there are early games. That's odd. How about that? Seven late games, six early games.
It's such a fun day. I love yeah. Week 18. That's not that. It's great.
Dad Wishnev.
By the way, I agree with Will. That Eagles team, that was my masterpiece bet of the weekend when the Eagles were up 15 points and the Arizona Cardinals were getting, it was 21-6 Eagles at the half. The Cardinals were getting three in the second half. So I took the Cardinals plus 18 in a game they dominated the first half, and it wasn't even close, obviously. But that was my masterpiece. The Eagles are just taking on oil. Me and Gilly were talking about this the whole time. We were saying that the Eagles are taking on oil. And the Chiefs are taking on oil. Some of these teams are just absolutely falling apart down the stretch.
Lots of oil.
As is my sacred heart bet.
Before, as is your sacred heart bet. Before
no,
you.
No, I just won in the last minute.
Oh, nice. But it was, before you get into your pick, that just let me ask you guys that, because that's an interesting point. As we're 1 week away from the playoffs, obviously. What is the team in each conference that you have the least confidence in? Is it those two teams?
I mean, I can't stand the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are – Mahomes goes back to pass. He looks around. There's nobody open. He stands there. He pats the ball.
It's
he thinks about it.
It's incredible.
By the way, think about taking the Mahomes rushing props, because I did it in-game when I was sitting next to Gilly. I said, Gilly, he has no one to throw for. He's going to have to run the ball. And it's exactly what's happening because there's no one open. And by the way, even when there is someone open, guess what? They can't catch the ball. So the Chiefs' offense is a debacle. I think the Chiefs are in big, big trouble, as do I think the Eagles.
Yeah.
I would say if the question was who do you have the least faith in, I'd still pick whoever wins the Texans-Colts game and gets in in the AFC, and I would still pick the NFC South winner, whether it's Tampa, which I'm not so sure of, or the Saints. Like, that would still be – I know the Eagles-Chiefs is like – for teams we had expectations of, maybe it's those teams, but – you know, taking the question literally, I would still take those teams.
No, I think you're right. I think the question has to be asked besides the AFC South or NFC South winner. Yeah, who is the team you have the least confidence in? Brad, your answer to that question would be?
Yeah, well, I just want to say, Will, I know your pick on the Giants. If I do the Eagles pregame show, and I have heard a couple things within the building that potentially there is a chance, and I did bet the Giants myself. I think it's a little bit of a free roll. There's a chance they may rest some of these guys, especially on defense. I feel like these guys are just absolutely just need a rest, so to speak. So I think there's a chance you get that. But listen, I agree with Todd in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I'll say this. You know, last year I was like, they are going to get punished for the Tyreek Hill thing. I go, you don't just lose a premier player like that and get away with it. I go, it's going to hurt them in one game. We're going to be like, God, if we had Tyreek Hill, we would have won, you know, and it's going to and it always your weaknesses always show up in these playoff games. Fascinating. A bad bullpen in baseball, whatever, a deep, whatever, a bad run defense, whatever it is, it always seems to show up. Chiefs got away with that last year. There is no way they're going to get away with it again this year. I absolutely agree with what Todd said. And it's crazy to me. Again, I think people just copy each other. Like, who's power rating the Chiefs highly? Like, I just don't see it. But, and then, look, in the NFC, the Eagles, their defense stinks. I mean, they're like Coors Field, right? Like, their offense can still score, but their defense is wretched. The defensive line, which last year led the league in sacks at a crazy record, hasn't been a show of that this year. And they just can't stop people, guys. So it's like, how's that going to change? You know, what's interesting is they do play first and nine with the push play. But I just think for them to win, they'll have to win a different way where they score slow. Because
right.
I don't think they have any chance of getting it done. I couldn't agree with you more. And anyone who's betting them, I just think you're betting on last year's results.
Yeah.
And not. I always say in sports betting, Gil, you either choose to be consistent or you choose to be right. And in politics, everyone chooses to be consistent. They don't care about being right. But in sports gambling, you better choose to be right. Because if you choose to be consistent, you're going to get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to win. And I will change my opinion with the wind if new information comes out.
Sure.
And, you know, and that's what you have to do. You have to adapt. If you just stick by your guns, oh, like Dan Campbell. Oh, we're going for two. Like, he chose to be consistent. No, he didn't choose to be right.
Great point, and I'll say this about the Eagles. The Eagles, they win this game against the Giants. They'll only end up one game worse in the standings than they did at the end of last year. It feels like 1990, you said? Or 90 games worse.
No, it feels like 90 games worse. It feels like...
Yeah, they're so much worse than last year's team. And again, 13-4 is by somehow beating Buffalo, by somehow beating Dallas the first time, by somehow beating Washington both times.
Twice.
Yeah. I mean, Terry McLaurin was in bounds in overtime. I don't know why they called him out.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's like that record is to some degree cosmetic. And the game that Todd and I were watching with the Chiefs was that Raiders game 2 weeks ago, where the Raiders, I think, blitzed on only like 22 plays of 50-some or something like that. The Raiders generated pass rush with just a four-man rush, you know, most of the game. And Todd is right. And most of the time, Mahomes is just back there chilling, patting the ball, looking. Nobody open. It was amazing.
Aren't they 11-5 and they were 14-3 last year?
No, you're right. They lost to the Cardinals, so you're right. There'll be two games.
I think we all kind of penciled that in as a win. It's funny, their season win total, depending when you bet it, was either 10.5 or 11.5. So if you went over 10.5 and under 11.5, you're sitting on the middle if the Giants pull off this upset, which is possible.
Yeah, no, you're right. They lost to the Cardinals, which I had the Cardinals plus the points last week, so they will be two games worse than last year.
Do have that middle, Will.
Oh, do you?
I actually do have
so
that.
Do I.
I actually do have Eagles over 10.5 and under 11.5.
Oh, wow. Okay. Todd, what's your second pick? I'm sorry.
My second pick is, and it gives us an opportunity to do something we haven't done too much this year that people clamor for when I don't do it, and that is sing a song that goes a little bit like this. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. They got their shit pushed in, but they're gonna do something this week because the Bills are overrated. pardon my language there, but the Miami Dolphins, there's so much. Okay, I don't like them. You know, I think they're a soft football team, but I think this is a perfect opportunity. We know how NFL teams do when they got blown out the week before. They got obliterated. So if you're going to get their best effort, I think you're going to get it this week. And I don't think the Bills deserve to be a 3-point favorite on the road. I mean, the Bills just, they squeak by. I had that Patriots game, remember, Fez did an unauthorized plus 14.5 for me when I said I liked the Patriots. And I'm just like, the Patriots were giving them the game. They turned the ball over like 14 times in the first 15 times they had it, and they still covered the game easily. The Bills, the week before, played footsie with the Los Angeles Chargers and Austin Stick, or whatever the hell that guy's name is. The Bills are not just blowing people out, folks. The Bills are also just kind of, Yeah, they played the great game against Dallas. But other than that, the Bills are not this juggernaut either. I know everyone's like, oh, well, the Bills, they could either be in the playoffs or they could be the two seed or the out of the playoffs. And maybe they're the sleeper for the Super Bowl. Yeah, granted, the Bills can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody. But you're going to get Miami's best effort this week after a complete embarrassment on Sunday. I'm sure there might be injuries. Sure, there might be problems. I'm Miami. I'm getting 3 at home. Give me the Miami Dolphins with the song.
Can I just jump in? Because that's my number 3 also. And that's that also on guessing lines was, I couldn't believe when Kelly told me that was that, right? Like, I guessed Miami minus 2.5, even factoring in their injuries, because Bradley Chubb is now out for the year. That on the heels, see what I did there, of Jalen Phillips having the Achilles injury. Xavier Howard is out. Like, they've got a lot of injuries. And if you're a Dolphins fan or a Dolphins backer in the postseason, that's tough because they've got – but the Bills had a lot of injuries earlier this year and their season-long ones too. But I couldn't believe that this was Buffalo minus 3 on the road. Like, what? It's my third pick too. So I'm on Miami as well. Brad,
Brad, you have 2 picks.
You got 2 picks here, second and third.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna go out of order. My third pick was Miami, but I'll talk about that one first. Look, a lot of things that you just said, Todd. I couldn't. First of all, in terms of guessing the lines, this was the line I was most off on, but I understood it to a certain extent. Here's the thing. First of all, Buffalo, to me, guys, I think they're extremely overrated. And here's what I mean by that. Joe Brady's getting a lot of credit for running the ball. And then, first of all, what he's doing is just, they were due just by the opposite of the Eagles, right? How the Eagles were lucky. The Bills were just unlucky at the beginning. You're taking the ball to Josh Allen's hand to me. They're not going to win just going run. There's going to be a game in the playoffs. You mark this down right now. They're down 17-0. Like, oh, God, we just kept running. And it's going to be too late. The Bills, okay, they beat KC in a coin flip. They lose to the Eagles by 3. The Dallas is their one good game. But they were outplayed by both the Chargers and the Pats. And let's look at last week. Miami's getting 3 at Baltimore. Getting 3 at Baltimore. Now they're at home? Getting 3 against a clearly worse Buffalo team? I understand there's some injuries. I understand that. I thought Miami would be favored. So I got embarrassed on this line.
I did too.
But again, I understand Miami is banged up. But again, I don't think you have any choice but to take Miami getting the 3. And I'll sleep like a baby if it loses, because this line to me is just wrong. On the last game, I'm going to give maybe a who cares game, but a game that team I actually think is a little underrated is the New England Patriots. Now, hear me out before you laugh me out of the building. I'm looking at they lose by 4 to Vegas. They beat the Bills, lose by 3 to Washington, lose by 4 to the Colts, lose by 3 to the Giants, lose by 6 to the Chargers, beat Pittsburgh, lose by 10 to KC, beat Denver, lose by 6 to the Bills. They've been right there in most of these games down the stretch. The Jets have been blown out by the Browns, by the Bills, by Miami twice, and the Chargers in that same stretch. Potentially Bill Belichick's last game. I just think right now the Patriots are the better team, and I trust them more to put out a professional performance, even with a god-awful quarterback and their situation and what they have. I thought this line deserved to be 3. You know, it's 1.5/2, whatever one you want to give me, to me is fine. But I think New England wins this last Belichick game. I just trust them more to give a good performance and not just lay an egg.
We should probably tell people that right now, as we do this Thursday morning, the highest wins are scheduled for, or at least forecasted for, Baltimore on Saturday and Foxborough on Sunday. The Ravens Steelers total is at 35, with again the Steelers favored by 4 in that game. And in the Patriots case, where the Patriots are favored by 2, the total is at 30.5 in that ball game. Wow. Todd, your final one.
My final pick, I was vacillating between 2 possibilities, and that is either the Bears plus 3 or the over in the Bears game. I'm going to just take, you know what, I'm going to go over 44. That'll be my pick. I like the Bears too. I think the Bears are, by the way, anybody who thinks they're going to get somebody better than Justin Fields is out of their mind. Justin Fields is not bad at all. Me and Gil were talking about this all weekend. You know, he's really coming along quite well. And that team in general is coming along right well. I think the Bears are going to be a serious. I would not want to play the Bears in the playoffs right now. I mean, that's how well I feel like the Bears are playing. And defense are playing well.
Let me give that some context. Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, was on a numbers game this week. We talked about the Bears. The Bears in weighted DVOA, which is DVOA that is more recent, not a full season one, they're seventh in the NFL. So they've really been good, primarily defensively. But we talked a little bit about the Justin Fields thing, because I always say, I go, hey, look, if I'm a Washington guy, I would love to have Justin Fields. The issue, though, is financial, right? What these teams will have to give up to trade for Justin Fields might immediately make them say, you know what, I'll just draft a quarterback, because of the economic structure of the NFL, right? Because it's the second Justin Fields contract you have to worry about, which is going to be the massive one. And if you're going to have to trade a haul for him to begin with, then does it become worth it for a guy who does make plays that no one else in the league makes except for Lamar Jackson, but also from a passing perspective is kind of subpar.
Getting better.
I want to ask you a question. I'm sorry. Did you think something is very interesting to me? I want to ask you your opinion on something.
I think we lost Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Opinion. Because you're talking about Justin Fields. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're talking about Justin Fields. Lamar Jackson was a free agent last year, right? And you talk about in Atlanta and Washington made it clear we don't want him. And I firmly believe they could have probably gotten him for a first-round pick or two first-round picks, whatever it would have been. Why would no one have wanted him, a guy who won an MVP, who was a clear top eight quarterback by anyone's metrics before last year? Why wouldn't anyone have attempted to trade for him? And then that's one thing that really annoyed me. The other thing is, I see a team like the Raiders. I've never seen a player that I can remember, Gil, maybe you'll tell me someone else, who's living off a preseason more than Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell's been horrible. If they played Jimmy Garoppolo, this team would have probably two more wins. It could be in the playoffs. No one talks about that either.
Yeah.
I don't, there's certain things that just infuriate me as an analytical person, as a probability guy, as a math guy, that aren't hard to see. And when teams like, oh, we don't want Lamar Jackson, I know you have to pay him, but Daniel Jones is making $40 million a year, so your argument's out the window.
Well, the Lamar Jackson thing might have been collusion, right? Because Lamar Jackson was in that contract dispute with the Ravens. He was acting as his own agent. And then you had that weird thing where the teams went out of their way to say they didn't want him. The Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons were retweeting other people's, tweets about the Falcons aren't interested. And they think the team Twitter couldn't wait to tell you they weren't interested. Obviously, in retrospect, stupid them, right? Because obviously he's going to win his second MVP here. But that was a different kind of thing. This with Justin Fields is more of a, and I get both sides of the argument, because like Todd, I think Justin Fields is really good and better. You can count on him to be better most likely, right? One of these quarterbacks can hit big. There's no question there could be a Justin Herbert and a Joe Burrow in this group. Some people think Drake May is that guy. Some people think you should go with a mobile guy like a Jaden Daniels. And other people think Caleb Williams is a generational player. But I like what I see in Justin Fields. The problem is you have to trade a haul for him, and then you have to deal with his second contract. Whereas the only way you can really win a Super Bowl is with a quarterback who outperforms a rookie deal and a Hall of Famer. And Justin Fields ain't either of them at this point. So that's the problem.
He's getting better.
So what are you doing if you're the Bears? What are you doing if you're the Bears?
Well, I think if you're the Bears, I think what they're going to do is try to trade him for a haul and draft a quarterback. That's my guess. If they're unable to do that, they'll be happy to take Marvin Harrison or whatever. I think if you're a team like Washington, which drafts right behind him, or any of those other teams that need a quarterback, I think you probably inquire about Justin Fields, then you're probably going to find out the asking price is way too high. Then you're going to do the contract assessment, and you're going to say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to draft Michael Penix or Jaden Daniels or one of these guys.
Yeah.
That, I think that's going to happen.
Makes sense.
Will, you're not.
You can have finish my third pick, guys.
Go ahead, Will.
You can have in football is, with the way the league is a good defense and a cheap quarterback. That allows you to just stack the team the rest of the way, and the Bears are set up to do just that. So I think they're nuts. Fields is going to want a ton of money too. It's not going to say, hey, I wasn't good the first few years, let me give you a break here. His agent, him, he's going to want a lot of money. He's a running player. Can you keep him healthy? I mean, you're talking 35 plus million. I mean, I don't know the economics. He's going to want a fortune, though.
That's the problem with the economics, as we discussed so many times, right? The Vikings are forced to pay Kirk Cousins, or Washington didn't want to. The Vikings finally did, or the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. You name your quarterback. The Rams did it with Jared Goff before they traded him. I thought the Rams should have been the first example of a team purging their quarterback and drafting because they had this great defense. The Seahawks should have won more than one Super Bowl in this same kind of format with a rookie deal with Russell Wilson and a great defense. I just think that's the problem. What you said, Will, is that Justin Fields, when he comes up for his, and this is going to be his fifth year optional coming up, it's not like they can, it's not like a team can say, all right, we don't have to pay every quarterback this massive deal. Because in the end, you do, because someone will. So they command that at a point in their career where you just don't know if they're going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback in the end. It's a kind of fucked up system, but it just is what it is.
You know, I really respect your opinion very, very much. I want to hear, and I respect Todd's opinion very much. Will, you too. I happen to know these guys. I'm trying to understand something a little bit. Like, Justin Fields is a guy I probably watched. An inordinate amount of times from his times. I went to Michigan. I hate Ohio State. Watched so much Justin Fields, it's probably embarrassing. What have you seen? And he's played better recently, and I'll give him that. Again, would you rather be consistent? Would you rather be right? I'd rather be right. He's definitely improved a ton recently. I'll give him that. But what have you seen, guys, that you don't know that he's not just a far more athletic Daniel Jones? If they're down,
he might be
17-10 in the game. Like Jared Goff was against the Cowboys. You like Justin Fields to lead you down?
No, you're right. He might very well be that, Brad. You're right. That's why I say.
But who's good?
But that's the counter argument. The counter argument is. Yeah. Go ahead, Todd.
I just don't think. Look, I'm not saying Justin Fields is an elite quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he is now a little bit above average and continues to improve. And this is the other point. You can't get anyone. There's no one to get, right?
Well, the Bears can, though, Todd.
Well, they're going to have the first pick in the draft.
Right, so we're going to
Yeah, they have the first pick in the draft, dude.
Right, but that is not 100%.
No, I agree.
Sure. Nothing is.
There's no right or wrong to this answer, right? Because Fields makes plays that no one else makes besides Lamar Jackson. I believe that. On the other hand, do I think he's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not. And so it does become this. There's no right answer. It's such an inexact science. So you're better off.
Right. If you're the Bears skill, you got to get it right.
You got to get it right.
That's what you get paid to do. You got to get it right. You can't botch this.
Right.
They put themselves in a great position.
As the team gets better.
But here's the trick of it all, the thing that messes with the brain. If you're a Washington guy, let's just take them. Would Washington have won more games this year with Justin Fields at quarterback than with Sam Howell? Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And so you become drunk with that. You know, it's tantalizing. You're like, well,
yeah.
You know, we got all those great receivers.
And job.
Terry McLaurin would have been better. And, oh, my God, we would have won this. Maybe we would have made the playoffs. But then it's sort of like the Washington Bullets of the 80s. You're going to be 40-42 every year.
Yeah.
So it's such a – and we're talking about nine figures. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Here's the other thing, though. The league was really watered down this year, so I'd be very careful making judgments off, like, a small sample in, like, you know, four or five games this year where everybody had their quarterback hurt. League was really down where it's like, oh, he didn't look that bad compared to these other guys. And this year, this was a strange year. I would take that into account, too.
Yeah. I honestly think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to hope to get a haul for him. If they do, they'll make the trade. They'll draft a quarterback. If they don't, they're still probably better off drafting a quarterback. But I think if you're Washington or any of the teams who are thinking about Justin Fields, I think what you will figure out is that it's way too high of a price. The contract is looming.
Yeah.
And you got to try to hit on the quarterback, whether it's Penix or Daniels or Williams or May. I was talking about Drake May with Aaron Schatz. And I said, oh, I don't want Washington to draft Derek May. We just drafted Sam Howell. Same school. He goes, oh, no, you don't understand. Drake May is like one of the highest rated scouted quarterbacks like ever. And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Sam Howell was great at North Carolina, too. Stop it.
Exactly. It's such an inexact science. I'm sorry, Todd. Go ahead.
Okay, my third pick, I was going to take Bears, but I like over 44 better in that game. I just think that, Love has been making great strides. You all know that I used to bag on Love and used to say how bad he was at Utah State and blah, blah, blah. He has definitely turned the corner here. The Packers are doing things on offense. They're a legit offensive football team. I think they can score points. And the Bears... And by the way, they can't stop anybody. And don't tell me, oh, they stopped Minnesota. Yeah, they stopped Minnesota with a guy who's a tiny bit better than Gill at quarterback, Hall from BYU. It was a joke, okay? So give me a break. The Carolina Panthers scored 30 points against the Green Bay Packers. The Carolina Panthers should not score 30 points in a half a season. That's how bad the Carolina Panthers are on offense, yet they scored 30 points in Lambeau. I believe that game was in Lambeau, but they scored 30 points 2 weeks ago against them. I think the Bears are going to move the ball, easily against this Packer. I think the Packers are also going to be able to move the ball against the Bears. I happen to like the Bears plus the 3 as well, but give me the over 44 with the Bears.
Will, your final pick.
I thought about going Bucks. I thought about going Jags. I did bet both those. You guys mentioned Jets Patriots. I'll go under Jets Patriots.
Wow.
Weather. It's
Wait,
30,
before
30
you do
half.
That, Will, what about the Browns? You don't like the Browns?
The Browns.
Why the Browns?
He just wanted.
Because Jeff Driscoll's not that bad.
He just wanted to say Browns.
Oh. Browns.
Anyways, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, this to me has like a 10-3 gamer in all of it. Wind, snow, two bad quarterbacks, two defensive-minded coaches that can be conservative, two good defenses. It's the last game of the season, so I mean, I don't know if that factors into it, where these teams just want to get out of Dodge with, somebody winning the game 13-6 or whatever. And unless there's just a rash of turnovers and defensive scores here, or defense setting up offense, I don't see either team sustaining enough offense to get over this number. Zappi was dreadful last week. Simeon's not much better. So to me, I don't know, 13-10 somebody. I'll go under 30.5 Jets Patriots.
If you didn't have,
so was it 13-10 New England?
13-10 New England. We're all happy.
If you didn't have a bet on that game, how much would I have to pay you to watch every play of that game?
Oh, every play? A couple hundred bucks. I could tick through it. A
couple hundred?
You wouldn't have to pay me anything. You wouldn't have to pay me anything.
Wouldn't have to pay Todd anything. He's easy.
No, because I'd be watching Stephen F. Austin and UT Rio Grande Valley and then split screen.
Oh, no. You're not allowed to do that. You would have to only have one screen. Those are the rules.
Oh.
All right, are we down?
No, a better question, how much would you have to watch it in person to sit through the cold, the wind, the snow? That's
going
one.
Well.
when I was a kid, and my dad and I would go to RFK, I remember him so many times saying to me, "You really think this is better than watching it at home with a sandwich?" And I remember thinking in my, 8-year-old brain, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, of course this is better. And now I'm him, right? Like, now you're like, oh, yeah, it's ridiculous to go to a game like that.
I was a huge Eagles fan, so I remember those Redskins games, back in the day, Eagles could never really beat the Washington. They always, Art Monk and
Gibbs had Buddy Ryan's number.
Yeah, and even with the weather, whatever quarterbacks they had in, they were just so good, Washington. And that one team that won the Super Bowl, the Eagles were the only team that beat them, if you remember. The team that went 15-1. I believe they went 15-1. They beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
The 14-2 91 skins.
Oh, they were 14-2, yeah. When Rippon won, Rippon was great.
Cowboys were the only one to beat them that year in a meaningful game, yeah.
Right, and the Eagles beat them in the last game of the year, if I remember
correctly. Was it the Eagles? Yeah, it might have been the Eagles in the last game.
I think it was, but yeah. Washington was... It's so many good teams. Gosh, you grew up in a great era.
Oh, I did. I remember it well. Oh, okay. I just had that moment thinking about it.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Teaser of the week. Todd says this is the only record that matters. Teaser of the week.
12-5. Ian Willard, 12-5.
This is for the teaser title, right? This is big. Brad, you're...
Well, the guest is at 12-5. Yeah. Will is at 12-5, and I'm at 12-5.
You're trying to say that I'm not at 12-5? Is that what you're trying to say?
Gilly is at a paltry 10-7.
All right, Brad, what's your favorite two teams? Six-point teaser.
What do you guys show in the line of the Colts game?
Colts?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
Texans minus one.
Texans minus one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a 6.5-point teaser then. That's what I'd have to
do. No, it's only six, Brad.
Only six.
Stay with six.
Oh, shucks.
Sorry, Brad.
Oh, all right.
I'll politic on Brad's point. I mean, FanDuel has 1.5. DraftKings has 1.5. Fanatics has 1.5.
I mean, there are a lot of 1.5, Billy.
Yeah, they're right. Bet Online, Bovada, Pinnacle.
We'll give you Colts plus 7.5.
See what he does, Brad? He does this every week, Brad.
And by the way, guys, and I'm sure you guys are the same way. You guys are also super smart in doing this. If the Colts were the 1.5-point favorite, I'd be saying Texans, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is dealer's choice. They're going to make the one team a 1.5-point favorite. Thank you. I'll take the team that's the underdog. Look, you know, we all know about the Wong teasers. You don't have to, you know, me telling you this. You know, I'm going to go through the 3 and the 7. Although I will tell you this, guys, and I think you'll agree with me. Every game now, I used to, you know, not say blow off, but if the game was like up through 5 or whatever, or 9 or whatever number, like it doesn't make it, a 5's a dead number. I feel like there's no more dead numbers anymore with teams going for
I agree with
constantly.
You 100%, Brad.
Yeah.
Brad, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. The number thing is totally different now.
Yeah, it's totally different. Like now, every half point to me, the 3 and the 7 worth a little bit less for sure. But I feel like every half point on every number, I don't care what it is like meaningful because look, I'm sure you guys remember, you guys are experts in this stuff. The Browns game against the Jaguars, when it was a Peterson,
yes, four.
They were down, I think 10, they kicked, they scored a touchdown with like a minute to go down 4. They went for two, you know, so like you can't relax. Dan Campbell going for two at the 7.
Oh, we might have lost Brad there.
Yep, he's right, though. Remember, Arizona went for two, field from 11 to 9 in the Baltimore game.
Yeah. All right, so, Brad, who are you coupling the Colts with? Who you got?
I'm going to tease that with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to let the Cardinals get up to 8.5 because I think it's mostly 2.5. Look, Seattle's a team. They just have struggled to get margin in any kind of game. I liked them last week. I know Todd did, too. Against Pittsburgh, they laid a pretty big egg there. Arizona with Kyler Murray is not a bad team. I see this game being very 50-50 like. And I think if Seattle wins, I don't think it's going to be my margin. Give me the Cardinals and the Colts.
Will, you lost your season win total on the Cardinals last week?
I got a few of them. I have 5.5, 4.5, 3.5. 3.5's dead. The 5.5's a winner. And the 4.5 I thought was a win after the Bears. Then down 15, and I really thought it was a win at 15 points down at Philadelphia, but I got off a little of it. I'll probably get off the rest this week. This Cardinals team's not terrible. Like they're closer to like a wild card team than like the worst team in the league. This team's not horrible.
By the way, that's another part of our quarterback discussion is the Cardinals will probably keep Kyler Murray because they've already done that deal, right? The big deal. So it's not like they have to make an assessment about that. So that's kind of.
What do you like better, Gil? Him or Justin Fields?
I'll take Kyler Murray.
I'll take Justin Fields, just because of the hope of the potential.
Maybe less injury risk.
Maybe so. Yeah.
I'll take Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is excellent.
He is great. He's great. Todd, your two team teaser, big one here coming.
My two team teaser. By the way, get your Stephen F. Austin bets ready. A 12-minute timeout coming up. I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens going up to 10. Ravens plus 10. Because, you know, it's one thing for the Stores to win. It's a whole nother enchilada for the Stores to be able to beat somebody by 10 points in that. I mean, that's two scores. I don't know what yins are looking at. No, Ravens plus 10. And I'll take my other one will be I like Arizona too. I like the Arizona Cardinals up to 8.5.
Willie.
I will use the Colts since we're getting the 7.5. I would think that would be a close game. I want to take Arizona too. I'll be a little different though. I'll break the Wong rules. I hope Fez isn't listening. I'll take the Carolina Panthers up to 10.5. Tampa stinks too. Ooh,
don't expect them to win
by like 11 plus on the road. I'm fine. I'll take Carolina. Actually, you know what? I'll predict the Carolina upset. I think Carolina upsets them this week. I don't like this Tampa team. So that 10.5 is a lot.
I'm tempted to do the two lowest totals and take the dogs and just go Ravens and Jets, but instead I'm going to go Ravens and Colts. I'm going to do a Saturday teaser. Both home teams teased up. Ravens to 10, Colts to 7.5. By the way, I'm not getting any love. That Texans-Colts game is a huge game. Obviously, the winner is going to be the AFC South champs if the Jaguars lose. By the way, with the Colts and the Texans, there is also other scenarios with them. The Colts, first of all, both of them, like the Steelers in the early game, the Steelers can still make the playoffs if they lose.
Amazing.
With a Jaguars loss and a Broncos win, and if the Texans and Colts don't end in a tie. And then with that Houston-Indianapolis game, Houston wins, Jags lose, they're the AFC South champs. But if Houston wins and the Jags, the Texans can still be a 6 if Buffalo were to lose to Miami. And then they'd be a 7 seed if the Bills beat Miami. They win. The Bills beat Miami. Miami would be the 6, and Houston would be the 7. Indianapolis, they win, and the Jaguars lose. They're the AFC South. But if they lose, they're out. So the Colts, if the Colts beat the Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars beat Tennessee, but Buffalo also loses to Miami, the Colts are in as a number 6 seed. So there's all kinds of little quirks to that.
I want to ask you three guys a question, because I told you, you know, I specialize in props and futures. That's what I've made my bones on throughout the years. And I feel like these sports books copy each other, like, on a lot of times on these futures, and they'll be inefficient. Like last year, one of my biggest bets was sixth man of the year in the NBA. I took Malcolm Brogdon, quickly was like -700, and I'm like, no one's looking at the stat. Brogdon's better in every category, and but people are just copying a bad line. I want to ask your guys on the bet that I've been betting, and tell me if I'm off, because I respect your three opinions very much, because I haven't heard anyone really talk about it. Comeback player of the year in the NFL. Who should win? Like, who do you think's going to win? Because the guy who's the favorite, I don't even have as a candidate. Check me if I'm wrong. I don't think he should even get a vote, but I'm curious if you think I'm just smoking the good stuff.
Well, we've done collectively probably 10 hours on this subject, but I mean, here's the thing. I had two AP voters on this week. Will is about to have two on also. Mike Sando and Aaron Schatz. They're two of the 50 AP voters for these.
Okay.
Mike Sando is DeMar Hamlin died on the field. He's the comeback player of the year. Aaron Schatz, 4 weeks ago, said, the interesting thing about this is if you don't have Hamlin number one, the ballot is 1, 2, and 3, you probably won't have him on the ballot at all. You'll decide on a football player, and that's how he felt 4 weeks ago. Yesterday he was on the show and he said, yeah, but here's the thing. If 48 people, I'll paraphrase, if like 48 of the 50 say it's Hamlin, he doesn't want to be found out as one of the two that doesn't, because he doesn't want that shame involved. So, you know, Flacco's not playing this week. Can Joe Flacco be the comeback player of the year with 5 games? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But you'll see Hamlin just went back to -250 after Flacco was announced not playing this week. I think in the end it's going to be Hamlin. That's my hunch.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people have big tickets on Flacco, too.
Well, you know what's interesting, Gil? And by the way, again, great. I hope the guy – I literally cried that night. It was one of the – I mean, as a sports fan.
It was awful.
That I was – emotionally devastated that night, and I remember it like it was yesterday. But it's interesting. Like, when you saw Alex Smith win comeback player of the year, he went through a gruesome 9-month, 12-hour-a-day rehab that was just, and he didn't play well. You know, I knew he was a, you know, Washington guy, but he didn't really particularly play great. But what he went through was crazy. Now, you're right. Damar Hamlin died on the field, and I'm the biggest wimp in the world. I couldn't overcome any of these things these guys come through. So let me make that clear. And Damar Hamlin's amazing. It's a great story. I hope he makes millions motivational speaking. But in terms of the actual comeback, was it really a comeback? I'm not trying to be insensitive.
No, you're not. But that's the problem with this award, is that you're handicapping the voters. Nobody knows what the 50 different people are thinking as the criteria for this.
What would you vote if you were one of the voters, Gil?
Hamlin.
You personally.
I would vote Hamlin.
You would? Okay.
Because I was screaming. I was screaming last summer. He almost died on the field. Like, who died? Like, you have to. By the way, the Alex Smith comparison. Alex Smith did come back and start for Washington, and 1 week he led the NFL in passing yards. He threw for 390 yards. So Alex Smith.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Alex Smith legitimately came back. Damar Hamlin was what, active for only a few games, and he made a tackle or two, I think, one tackle at least.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because I said all you had to do was step on the field. My producer, Kelly Bidlin, said, no, he has to make one tackle. He made exactly one tackle. So I don't know. I just, in my hunch is Hamlin, I could be very wrong. But I think Will, you did it best. You had a Flacco, and then you covered your position with Hamlin, correct?
Do you think Flacco's going to win it?
So I had Hamlin plus 175. Remember when the season ended last year, you guys talked about it. Hamlin plus 175, bet that.
Yeah.
Jumped in at Flacco like 60-1, then again at 12-1. And people have much better prices. 250-1, 100-1.
By the way, a more important thing is you better get down on the first half, 75.5 over in the Stephen F. Austin first half. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Willie, but I did text you guys, and I'm not sure that you put that in, but you better put it in.
It's already at 77.5, damn it.
Well, just do it. Do it, Gilly. The game is ridiculous.
Okay.
And the fouls are ridiculous.
Okay. I'll do it.
I do think Hamlin's going to win. I think it'll be a close vote. I got the sense that the vote was flipping a few weeks ago when Flacco was lighting up the Texans, because to me, this isn't comeback player of the year. People take the wording too literally. It's right. More what is the best story. And Flacco is just an incredible story. I mean, he hasn't been good in a long time. Now he's got the Browns where they're live. Who knows? But I think it'll be a very close vote, but I do think Hamlin wins. Who deserves it? I know.
The only guy that I could ever remember coming out of left field as much as Flacco, ironically, tell me if you guys agree, was Geno Smith last year. A guy who was bad for 8 straight years, you know, and then playing really well last year. That's the difference why Seattle hasn't been a 10-win team, is because he's been back to being mediocre, not, you know, a top 10 quarterback like he was last year. To me, this Flacco thing is just unbelievable to me. But again, I respect your guys' opinion. I may bite the bullet and pull the trigger and bet some Hamlin right now. And just because I have Flacco at 20-1, that's who I bet.
Yeah.
Comeback picker of the year. Last year, Gilly loses on the 4th-and-20 play to me in the picks because, you know, Fezzik said, Houston's not going to try. Lovie Smith's not going to try. Yes, he is going to try. And 4th-and-20, Davis Mills comes out of nowhere to win it. And I win the pick contest by a half because of Damar Hamlin, because he got injured and Gilly didn't get that game to pick. And then Gilly with a comeback pick of the year as he's picking winners this year. Thank you.
Forever an asterisk.
16, baby.
Forever an asterisk because I had a play in the Bengals-Bills game.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We usually ask the final two questions we always ask, but we usually ask here, what's the big favorite that you believe is the most likely to lose outright? We only have two choices here that are above a five-point favorite. That's it. So I'm just going to ask you these two.
Bengals are going to lose.
Are the Cowboys going to lose to the Commanders as a 13.5-point road favorite? Or are the Bengals going to lose at home to the Brownies as a 7-point home favorite?
Jeff Driscoll, baby. Jeff Driscoll. I like that pick, too. I think the Browns are going to cover that.
You think they're going to lose? You think the Bengals are going to lose outright?
Yeah, I could easily see. Jeff Driscoll is not. I've seen him play before. He's not that bad.
Okay. Does anybody disagree that it's the Bengals over the Cowboys in this or no?
No, that's a preseason game. Anything can happen.
Okay. Yeah, that question kind of falls by the wayside this week. Here is the question, the second question, though. 16 NFL games, two on Saturday, the rest on Sunday. The nightcap being the Bills and the Dolphins. You have to pick a side in every one of these games, Brad, but you get one pass. One game you want no part of on the side. What game is that?
It's easy for me. I don't know how anyone can say Chargers-Chiefs. I couldn't bet that game with anyone's mic.
That's a pretty good one.
Chiefs are going to be setting everyone. The Chargers stink as it is. I don't even know how you make a... Yo, what did you guess for guessing the lines? I'd be curious. You're great at that. I didn't hear... Do you remember what you guessed?
I will tell you what I guessed because I don't remember. Let me see what I guessed. Doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop.
That's like one of those things I'm like, okay, fine.
Do-do-do-do-do. I had to pick them. I completely punted on it.
Okay, right. Okay, you didn't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for you, you would take the Chiefs then. I don't know even how to handicap that game. In a million years, when I looked at these games, I'm like, that's the game. If I gave out that game, I must not like someone. And I'm trying to just get them to lose money because I couldn't even guess who's going to win that game.
If the Chiefs win their divisional playoff game, remember they're the third seed in the AFC no matter what happens here, then we will finally get to see Patrick Mahomes on the road in the postseason in the divisional round. So the wild card round, they get a home game, then we would see him for the first time. Eight straight AFC West titles for the Chiefs, despite all of that. Todd, what game you want no part of?
Well, I do want part of the Stephen F. Austin game because it's a Tim Donaghy special, baby. Tim Donaghy reffing today's game and calling every single foul. They're both in the bonus with 10:30 to go at the half. You got to love it. Go Tim Donaghy. I agree with Brad on the what game I don't want to play in the NFL.
I think Brad, that might be mine. Will, what's yours?
That was going to be mine. I always like to be a little bit different so we don't have the same one. How about Bills Dolphins? I know you say, hey, it's an overreaction. This shouldn't be the line. You're right. But when you look at this Dolphins injury report, my goodness, Waddle and all the guys on defense, the offensive line, two is banged up. Hill has not been explosive. He's been in and out of practice. I don't want to lay three on the road here with the Bills. I'm curious if we get a 3.5. But, man, this Miami team with all these injuries is scary to back. So I'll throw that one in there.
It's a tie for me. I know you're not supposed to do this, but for week 18, I'm going to do it. Chiefs, Chargers, Rams, Niners.
That's a good one, too. I thought about that one.
What the hell? Wentz versus Darnold. Just get Puka the ball four times for 30 yards. I think we can all agree on that. Just get it to him.
That game shows you how ridiculous the NFL draft is because it's not that long ago. Not only were Wentz and Sam Darnold high picks, number two and number five, but teams were trading up, giving you all their assets to go and pick those guys that high. And here we are, and they're afterthoughts in this, wash-up game.
Not only that, Washington traded the house for Wentz even when we knew he sucked. Like, I mean, it's just like, and then that lingers for a while. The Carson Wentz's career is one of the more remarkable things ever. Like, there's a moment here where he's like, you're the NFL MVP. And then...
Yep. In year two.
Year two. I mean, but all these guys with injuries. RG3, people forget how great he was his rookie year. Then injuries. Yeah.
Yep.
Gentlemen, thank you. Good luck. Week 18 for Todd Wishnev. Again, at T Wishnev. Todd, do you want to pump your college hoops thing? You want to pump that at all?
At T Wishnev, I have not gotten around to adding new people to the WhatsApp group, but as soon as I do, now that I'm back in the burg, I'll have a little more time to get people added on to that thing because people have been liking it.
The best thing about hanging out with Todd for 2 weeks is I got the full Wishnev experience. He was crushing college basketball, and then college football just absolutely sodomized him. And when it wasn't, he was turning winners into losers with overbetting, which I thought was spectacular as well. But he made great bets, and they still didn't
but
get
you
home.
You even said you liked my hedging.
Yes, like, I did.
Mean, for instance, I'm on Michigan with you. Like, I liked Michigan. And then the Alabama totally took control of the game. So I went with Alabama.
100%.
And it was the right play. And
you were. You did. You make the right plays. But Hashem doesn't like you, Todd. He does not like you.
Hashem hates me. Hashem hates not the taking the college bowl season off. Hashem was in full flux for college football, no doubt.
Will, promote your stuff. What you got?
Bear Bets podcast, and then my new podcast, Should Have Bet More, so check that out. Aaron Schatz should be posting tomorrow. Had Gil on, had the Bear on, so appreciate you guys checking that out.
Should Have Bet More. And Brad Feinberg from NBC Sports Philly at Brad's Best Bets on Twitter. Thank you for doing this, man. Where can people find you, on your Twitter or elsewhere?
Yeah, on my Twitter, Brad's Best Bets. I encourage that. Again, I do a podcast on the live betting show. I do halftime analysis for live bets at halftimes on like Sunday and Monday night football games. But again, Gil, really can't thank you enough. And I really mean heartfelt. Love your show. You're one of the classiest, best guys in the business. In addition to
being Brad, is he the kind of guy, would you say that he's like makes the industry look good? Because I'm not 100%. Sure you're getting that across, really.
No, well, because you know what, Todd? No, I'm being honest. Because there's so many people
Brad,
out there
I'm just
that
busting
I think
balls.
Are scummy
busting your balls,
that are not
buddy.
Good.
Yeah, we all know.
And it's
I'm
nice
with
to
you.
Get people who are hardworking, good, honest people who are smart and intelligent and who do this for a living. And I always like telling people that because I wish there was more of them in the world. I really do.
Thank you, Brad. That's very kind of you. It means the world to me, despite these two Schmendricks over here trying to stop you in the middle. I appreciate that very much.
We heard enough, Brad. I mean, we can't hear anymore about, Gillies is such a great guy in an industry full of charlatans.
I didn't even.
This Gil Alexander.
People
it's
should know.
True, though, but it's Todd. It's true.
I didn't even know, Brad. It was Todd who suggested you come on the podcast, too. So, Todd, thank you.
By the way, get Todd with his college.
By the way, if you saw Gilly at the Bacchanal
Buffet. It is, with the way Todd does it, he is, in my opinion, less likely to have those things because he's going mathematical things where he probably, it's like having coin flips, 55% coin flips go against you time after time after time. Probably doesn't happen as much to him as to other people who are maybe doing props or doing games because he always has a mathematical edge. I always say, show your work.
It happens,
Todd can
though,
show
Brad.
His work on every bet.
Yeah,
but it does happen. Don't get me wrong. It happens.
It's but about anyway. As solid a thing in sports betting as you can have. I really believe that.
No, I 100%.
Yeah, gentlemen, thank
what
you.
What I was going to say is, Gilly, if you saw Gilly at the Bacchanal Buffet, you wouldn't think he had too much integrity, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. If there's a buffet contest, I'll lay myself minus 850 against you guys combined.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what that means. I'm just saying Gilly was going strong to the basket. That's all I'll say.
No one's ever as strong as Todd at a buffet, trust me. Good luck with all your bets. Week 18 in the National Football League. Thanks for listening.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.